This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Well, you're not going to get his voice tonight. You're going to get my voice. And I'm Jeff Logan, and Vic Ketchman across the table from me, obviously senior editor of Jaguars.com. And Vic, a great week for the National Football League with a Super Bowl that had a record-setting audience. What was it like? I think an average of 106 million people that viewed this game. And I think at one point in the game, the
That was in America. 800 million, I think, worldwide.
800 million worldwide. But the high, I believe, was somewhere around 116.5 million at the end of that ball game. What a number. I mean, did you ever think that something could surpass the final episode of MASH?
Yeah, you're right. The first Super Bowl I ever covered was Super Bowl IX. That would have been the 1974 season. In those days, the Super Bowl was notorious for being a bad game. Blowouts, just not good games. The playoffs were great games, and the Super Bowl was anticlimactic. It was usually a letdown. Then we started to get some good ones. 10 was a good one. 13 was a good one. 14 was okay. They got a little better for a while, and then all of a sudden, boom, the NFC started blowing out the AFC team. The Cowboys just blew away the Bills, and the Redskins blew out the Broncos, and Redskins blew out the Bills, and it was just, you know, it was blowout after blowout again. And then in recent years, they have just become the best game of the season. The Giants went over the Patriots.
Tremendous game.
Oh, and then last year, the drive at the end, Cardinals-Steelers. We were heading for the same kind of a game, with the score 24-17 and Manning having the ball at the 30, about the 30-35-yard line of the Saints. Looked like he was taking them in. And then the interception and what appeared was going to be a great game, maybe an overtime game.
And it almost became a great game again, even with the interception.
Right.
But somehow Reggie Wayne got short-armed at the goal line. If he makes the catch, he's in.
Yeah.
And at least it gives the Indianapolis Colts a chance for an onside kick with an opportunity to tie the game up before the gun sounds.
Yeah. I still have a ton of questions about that game. Why did Reggie Wayne melt in the postseason, especially in the Super Bowl and the AFC title game?
He had two plays in that game that certainly were not his type of plays, because he has been so dependable since the departure of Marvin Harrison. And on the interception, you could clearly see that his body language, before he even turned around, his body language said, it's not there for me, the ball's not coming,
because
I'm going to be covered.
And I have a ton of other questions. Why did Jim Caldwell have Matt Stover try a field goal that was out of his range? And clearly, it's a kick you would probably not try in a regular season game, let alone a Super Bowl game.
Not with Matt Stover.
Not with Matt Stover. Here's the big question I have. Why didn't the Colts run the ball more? They were gashing the Saints. The Saints were playing that three-man Okie front and playing nickel behind it. They were loaded up against the pass. They were saying, go ahead, run the ball.
Joseph Addai nearly averaged 6 yards a carry, and his backup, Donald Brown, averaged 4.5.
And if it wasn't for those stupid stretch plays they were running on 3rd and 1, it had probably been 7-8 yards a carry. They were gashing him. Why wouldn't they continue to run the ball? Here's another question I have. Why is Bill Polian ripping his offensive line? I thought Manning had all day to throw.
I thought they were good. I mean, if you look at the numbers, right? We just said the numbers for
sacks
and Donald Brown. Peyton Manning was not sacked one time. He had 31 of 45 for 333 and a touchdown.
So what's going on? I got major questions here.
Why didn't he criticize the the lack of awareness for a surprise onside. That's coaching, right? Why did he not criticize that?
Was there a lack of awareness? The guy came up and was fielding the ball. He just had to catch it.
Yeah, but he was. But even still, when he had to catch it, he was so far back.
See, lack of awareness. If they had turn and run, and the ball is following them down the field, that's lack of awareness. Mm-hmm. But I thought the guy he came inside the 10-yard area. He attacked the ball. He just made the Cardinals sin of missing the ball. So I don't know why Bill Apolian picked on his offensive line and picked on him hard. Said they were dominated. You know. Clearly, we're
was
beaten.
Was that the word that he used, dominated?
I don't know about dominate, but he said clearly our offensive line was whipped, whatever word he used.
It was strong words, strong, either way.
It was real strong. I mean, I could find it on one of these real slow computers if you give me until 7 o'clock. But he was real strong in his criticism of the offensive line.
He was.
Yet his passing game was the culprit.
Yeah, I didn't understand his comments. I think, after a game like that and a loss, you compliment the opponent.
Yes.
You compliment them on their performance. You talk about how your team is going to get better and we're looking to get back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't dwell on what was, a negative in the game, or what he was viewed as a negative. But is that a ploy to deflect criticism off of Peyton Manning?
Well, there's been one theory raised on this, and I do tend to agree with it, although I would then think to myself that Polian would be better saying nothing than ripping his offensive line, because he has to negotiate contracts with those guys too. But he's got Manning coming up. He's going to have to negotiate with Manning. So if he takes any shots at Manning, it's going to cost him some more zeros.
And those are big zeros.
Big zeros.
Very big.
Because they have commas.
But it was a great game. I thoroughly enjoyed that game. And you know what? Was America not kind of rooting for the Saints? And in my mind, I kind of looked at that game and the end result as saying, you know what? This is something that maybe you deserved, because at the end of the year, you had a chance to play. And you opted not to play. And it did not surprise me one bit when the Colts returned to Indianapolis, and the reports were there was a sparse crowd.
11.
The 11 people.
11 people showed
to
up
greet
to welcome
the Colts.
Them. And they wouldn't let them near where the players disembarked the plane. They wouldn't let them near it. They made them stay hundreds of yards away.
I think this is a good lesson for the rest of the owners in the National Football League, and for general managers and for coaches. When you've got a chance at football immortality, to go undefeated, to carry that momentum into the postseason. And I know we kind of differed on this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do to the Colts fan base by not playing at the end of the year?
They disenfranchised them.
And then you ended up not winning.
Yep.
Can that be forgotten?
No. When you don't win the Super Bowl, then it can't be forgotten. Then these people are going to carry that like a sword. They're going to carry that into next season. I got to tell you, I think the Colts right now are my leading candidate for my surprise letdown team of the year next year.
All right, we got plenty more to get to, including LeVar Arrington's statement, as well as some important dates in the National Football League. And this portion of Jaguar This Week is brought to you by North Florida's Labor Union. Job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. We'll be back right after this. And don't forget, folks, Just Deck watches available at Espline Jewelers.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Logaman and Ketchman flying, I wouldn't say solo, but without Sexton tonight.
It makes you feel solo. We feel naked.
The Super Bowl, you had said something during the break about a sign that a fan was carrying from Indianapolis.
Picture of the year.
What did it say?
The game after after Polian ordered the tank job against the Jets, I saw a picture from the game after, so it would be game 16 of the year.
Mm-hmm.
A Colts fan holding a sign that said, "It mattered to us." I thought it was the picture of the year. I really believe that picture of that fan holding that sign with those words on it, "It mattered to us," says more about this season than any picture I have seen, including the one of Drew Brees holding his son. Because I saw last year Hines Ward holding his son. Someone's always holding their son. You know, we got lots of sons. We got lots of dads. And that's nice and all that. But what was done to the Colts fans is something that could dog that franchise going forward. Because they didn't win the Super Bowl, and they have been a postseason disappointment.
There's been a lot of talk about the Indianapolis Colts' possible struggle at selling that new stadium out in the future. Obviously, without Peyton Manning, that would be a big deal.
Oh.
Does this past year and that moment that they tanked it, that they said, okay, we're not going to play, guys, we're not going to play to win, does that have a long-lasting effect to a franchise?
Jeff, let me tell you this. I covered
games. I don't see how it could not.
I covered games in Indianapolis shortly after they stole the team from Baltimore. All right, so they still had novelty going for them. I covered games there with Mark Herman at quarterback. It wasn't full. So if you replace Peyton Manning with Mark Herman or Art Schliester or Mike Pagel, these are all guys that, you know, were quarterbacks for them in their not so halcyon days, okay? In their pre-Manning days, it can turn south real fast. They did a dumb thing. They did something that could disenfranchise their fan base.
Turn me off.
Turn me off too.
Why would you not go for perfection?
If you do it from the kickoff, fine. But to pull the plug. With the lead at the end of the third quarter, toward the end of the third quarter, is a tease. It's like rubbing everyone's nose in it. We can do anything we want. We're so arrogant that we believe we can do anything we want. And of course, everyone knew what Polian was doing. He was manipulating.
Now you say Polian.
Well, that Jim Caldwell does not make that decision on a sideline. That is an administrative decision. That's got to come from the owner, or the president of the franchise. You don't just make a rookie coach doesn't make that decision. I don't know that Tony Dungy, with his esteem, could make that decision. That had to come from the top, in my opinion, and I think most people would agree with me. But anyhow, you know, to make I believe the attempt was to make sure that they didn't have to face Matt Schaub, who was red hot, or Ben Roethlisberger, who was also hot at the time and had won there previously in the 2005 season playoffs. Instead, they wanted to make sure that they were going to get Mark Sanchez.
A rookie.
Yeah, exactly. And it worked. They played. I mean, no one's had an easier road to the Super Bowl. They beat two wild card teams. They beat a second-year quarterback and a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it worked, except for one thing. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
No.
And now it's all coming back in their face.
Well, let's get a caller in here. Chris from McClenny has an opinion on that. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, guys. Y'all are dogging out about them just sitting the starters. What about New England? They wound up losing Welker in what turned out to be a meaningless game. Now, mm-hmm. What if Peyton had twisted an ankle or something? Would you still be saying the same thing here?
You know, and a couple of years ago, you would have probably called and said, how about Coughlin? That's the way you do it. I mean, you can do it this way or you can do it that way, but you got to make it work. The Colts didn't make it work because they lost the Super Bowl.
Well, and Chris, I think there's a difference in that, you know, the Colts were striving for something that's been...
And the Patriots didn't have anything. They didn't have it locked. They were still going for home. They were still going for... They still had something.
Yeah, they
to
could
claim.
Have improved their seed.
Right.
Okay. Whereas the Colts, they were going for perfection, which has been done one time in the history of the league. It's never been done since the league went to the expanded schedule. And so I think, how could you not do that? How could you not go for that?
Plus, let me say this, Chris. Now, I have said repeatedly that if they had made that decision from the beginning of the game, if they had decided before the game, we're going to rest our starters, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because the Super Bowl is the goal. But you see, what they were doing was they were doing scoreboard watching. You see, there was a tease. They got to the end of the third quarter, and they saw things falling in a certain way that if they did this, they were going to have an easier playoff, possibly an easier playoff run, which they did. And see, what you're doing here is you are intentionally weakening the playoff field, and that's not good for the game, and that's not good for the NFL.
What do you think?
Good point.
Hey, Chris, do you know that you have accomplished something tonight that I have never seen?
What's that?
And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you know where I'm going?
Mm-mm.
Yes. Vic Ketchman actually called you by your name.
It's over there on the screen.
I know, but you always say caller.
I can't see that far, and that's why I usually do. But this time I was able to squint, and I saw his name.
Chris.
Plus, my ex-wife is named Chris.
Congratulations. You're the first.
I appreciate the honor.
Chris, thank you, caller.
That's the first time you've ever called somebody by their name.
But that's why I have trouble seeing
the screen. Without us kind of passing it on, he actually made an effort to look at the screen.
I think it's a whole season of him having his own show on Monday nights, and he's getting better at
this. I got this blood going through me down. My eyes are getting better.
Plus, he's a centerfold.
I got
tell you
thrown
what, I'm getting
off
tired
there.
Of hearing that. I really am.
I got thrown off there. I really did.
Yeah, I know. I always say caller.
All right, a couple, I guess you could say, at-home items. Jaguars.com has an opportunity for fans to put their 2 cents in. They're taking a poll/vote.
On the homepage.
On the homepage at Jaguars.com of who the all-time Jaguars team should be.
And you are one of the candidates mentioned on the ballot. For defensive end.
As a broadcaster?
No. As a defensive end, you're there with Clyde Simmons and Tony Brackens and Paul Spicer. And I think Derek Harvey is on there. And, you know, Will, we should have put Ronaldo Wynn on there. I just remember. I think we left him off. He should be on there. He wouldn't get it.
You got Schmenge on there?
Schmenge's on there.
Okay.
But I think Ronaldo Wynn should have been on there. I hope we got Seth Payne on the tackle, among the tackle candidates. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, that's got to be a lock to Stroud and Henderson. Anyhow, the all-fan, all-time Jaguars team balloting has begun on the homepage of Jaguars.com. You can click on a link and do it. We're probably going to be over 2,000 people now because we were 1,500 this morning. People are really participating, and we'll announce that next week.
Now, when will you reveal your team?
I'm going to do an all Vic, and I'll make sure that I'm a little antagonistic because I'll make sure that I got some against the grain picks. For instance, I'm going to guess that my defensive ends picks are not going to be in agreement with the fans.
Okay, so are you saying you're going to pick me?
I might.
Okay.
Makes Wednesdays a little easier.
Come on, Vic. Vote for me. All right, the other thing that's going to be at Jaguars.com, there's going to be a gas gauge about tickets. Explain.
I'm hoping to run a story tomorrow that will explain this in full. We have to wait to make sure that this can get done technically for Friday morning, which is what we hope to be the launch. Everybody wants to know how many tickets have we sold. Where are we with this thing? The Jaguars are going to put up on the upper right-hand corner of Jaguars.com's homepage, a kind of gas gauge, fuel gauge of ticket sales.
Okay.
The tank right now is 1/10 full.
So, in other words, being full means that they've reached the point to where...
General Bowl only.
Tickets will be sold to the point that people will... The blackouts will be lifted.
This stadium has 50,957 General Bowl seats in it, all of which have to be sold for the game to be telecast to local television. We're going to give you a gas gauge indicator of where this team is in its pursuit to sell those 50,957 tickets.
All right, people can have an impact on that gauge by going to Jaguars.com
and
purchasing
tickets.
All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day. Whichever that may be, I guess it's basketball now. Better than Gate. Snack, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. And when we come back, we have a few other items to get into, including LeVar Arrington, who had a spirited statement, I guess you could say, in D.C. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Loggeman and Ketchman here on Jaguars this week, and I mentioned about LeVar Arrington, but before we get to that, there was a just go back to the Super Bowl for a minute.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
People were kind of going, oh, Peyton Manning on the interception was blocked in the back. That's garbage.
Cool. I want to hear this because I got some coaches today to look at the video of this.
Okay.
Because I'm going to put it in, I'm going to put the results of this in tomorrow's Ask Vic.
Okay.
So you're going on record as saying he was not blocked in the back.
He turned his back.
No question.
He turned his back. Officials have to take into account the location of the ball when they consider whether something is a block in the back. Did he truly block him in the back? Yes.
Will Smith, the blocker, was between the ball and Manning.
And Manning.
That's right.
A potential defender cannot turn his back away from the ball and say, oh, you can't block me now because my back's turned.
He was running away from the ball.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That was not an illegal block in the back, and the officials got it right in making that a non-call.
You want to hear what the coaches said?
Yes.
Split, 50-50.
Come on.
50 said no block in the back. 50 said block in the back.
They're wrong, the ones that said it was a block in the back. I mean, what do you expect a blocker to do, to run around the other side and block him in the front? I mean, that doesn't make sense. You have to consider where the ball is in relation to the defender, which Peyton Manning became a defender when the ball was turned over.
Do I hear what Vic says?
What do you say?
Vic says get rid of the block in the back. Block him anywhere you want. Just don't go low on him. I'm saying legalize block in the back. You get your head on a swivel, get your head around and find the ball. That's your responsibility as a defender.
All right, well, let's go to the LeVar Arrington.
I'm so tired of block in the back ruining moments, dramatic moments of games, and changing field position. I want to see it eliminated.
All right, well, before we go to the LeVar Arrington thing, let's get a couple calls in here. And let's go to Ryan in Ponte Vedra. Did I do that?
Ryan? Probably Joe did it.
I'm sorry. Let's go to Rob in Orange Park. Good evening, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Rob.
I just wanted to ask Vic.
Rob, you're number two, by the way.
Say it again?
I said you're number two, by the way. You're the second person in the history of me doing the show that Vic has actually called by their name.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Vic.
You're very welcome, caller.
I wanted to ask Vic if the ticket gauge. And, by the way, I'm hearing some reverb, but my radio is turned down all the way, if you guys can hear me all right.
You're good.
Okay, thank you, sir. The ticket gauge is going to be on the website. I mean, you said right now it's one-tenth of the way. I'm assuming that you guys will. I just want to verify that once the season ticket holders currently in place start to do the renewals,
right,
that's going to be part of that gauge as well.
Absolutely. The renewals have gone out. There's about a little over 26,000 renewals that the Jaguars will be seeking.
Okay, my concern was that people would see only one, you know, the new ones and be discouraged by it. But once they see the 40-something thousand tickets that probably will be renewed because those are the diehards, it'll shoot up really fast and maybe encourage some people to go out and get some tickets.
Well, I'll give you a little preview of what the story that I'm hoping to run tomorrow is going to say. It's going to say that if the Jaguars renew 100% of their 26,000 season ticket renewals they're seeking, that and the 2,000 new season tickets they've sold as of now, up, you know, to date, would fill half the general bowl. So you can see this is a big job. This isn't going to be easy.
Oh no!
Even if you renew 100% of your season tickets from last year,
you got
half a stadium. You got half a stadium.
That's right. So thanks for the call, Rob. And let's go to Rich, because I think Rich has an excellent point. Good evening, Rich.
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on?
Hey, I just, when I was hearing that about you being nominated to the All-Jaguars team.
Yes, sir.
They couldn't pick a better person.
I agree with that.
Well, thank you.
No, not only. I mean, I was taking over, season ticket holder from day one. You were not only professional, you were a pleasure to watch. And you're like a homeboy now.
What's this good point that you said he had to make?
That's exactly what I want to him. Thank you. Thank you, Rich.
That's all I wanted to say. Jeff, we love you.
Thank you, Rich.
Okay, guys. Be good.
Thank you.
See, I told you, there was a reason to go there.
You got one out there that says, Vic, make a good point about Vic. Maybe you can find somebody who would do that.
Yeah, let's go to him because he's right along the lines of your opinion. That's Ryan in Ponte Vedra. Ryan, if I hung up on you, I apologize.
Hey, that's okay. I would never leave you guys hanging like the Colts left their fans hanging. I just called to basically compliment you guys on your summary. You guys have the best radio show for football in the entire league, even if our team and the Jags, you know, they play hard, and they play to win. And I really feel bad for the Colts fans when their team laid down in the playoffs. And I think that they were demoralized, basically, going into the Super Bowl. If that can't get you jacked up, I don't know what would. But I disagree with you guys 100% that it is going to affect their fan base. Here we are, the Jaguars, struggling for every win. Guys going out and playing with heart every night, every day, every game. And come up a little shorthanded sometimes. They're under great leadership. Just got to build. Got to build that defensive line and get things to where we can really compete with folks. And I'll tell you what, the Jags are not going to lay down. And I'll take you guys' comments off air, but I just wanted to say thank you very much for your show and your great summary of the game.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the call. And then just to kind of counter something you said you disagreed with us about the effect it will have on offense. No, we agree that it will have an effect on the Colts fans in the future.
I think
about their allegiance to the team.
They have to be embittered. I mean, that sign, it mattered to us. You're doggone right it mattered to us. I mean, you can't send a signal to your fans that we are trying to lose. That is a bad message. Fans will accept the fact that you are trying to rest your players. That's why you have to make that call before kickoff.
Let me ask you this. People talk about a quarterback's legacy is Super Bowls. Bill Polian now has 5 that he has lost as the general manager.
What do you mean, 5 what?
Super Bowls.
Oh, the Buffalo. Yeah, the 4 in Buffalo. Yeah, but I think this one's going to come down on somebody else. I you know, the postseason, Peyton Manning's 9-9, all right? Now, hear me out. I'll try to be quick because this is very important to me. When you look at the Bradshaws and the Aikmans and the Montanas, which is to say 3 quarterbacks, for example, who are a combined 11-0, and throw Tom Brady in, which makes 14-1 in Super Bowl games. These are the quarterbacks of their decades, 70s, 80s, 90s, and this one we just completed. All right, the quarterbacks of the last 4 decades. Combined 14-1. If and in each case they've played a lot of postseason games, 16, 18, 20 games. So they have played the equivalent of a full season of postseason games.
Mm-hmm.
In each case, if you take
full season of Super Bowls.
Well, I don't know about Super Bowls. Well, yeah, I mean, if you put them all together, I'm saying each guy, just take his postseason results. And if you take each guy's postseason stats and you put them in with all of his regular season stats, you know, season by season, and there's the postseason as a separate season.
It's different.
What you'll see is that in each case, Bradshaw, Montana, Aikman, and Brady, in each case, what you'll see is the postseason represents the best season of their career. That against the best competition the NFL had to offer and in the most pressure-packed time of their career, they played the best football of their career. All right?
Mm-hmm.
If you do that with Peyton Manning, his postseason, far and away, is worse than anything any regular season he has ever had.
Except for his rookie season and that he struggled mightily. If you discounted that year.
Yes, I agree.
All right, if you want all the inside information on the Jaguars, log on to jaguars.com/connect and join the Jaguars Twitter and Facebook groups. And we come back, we talked about LeVar Arrington, but there's something we're going to get in about what's been reported may be happening, and that's the release of a couple of Jaguars players. And we'll be right back here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, and I guess you could say this is an announcement of sorts. There is an event tomorrow night in Clay County, Orange Park. It is at 620 Wells Road. It's a Holiday Inn and Suites, and it is the Clay County Team Teal Rally. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be hamburgers and hot dogs that will be served. And I believe that the attendees that will be there for the event, obviously this is a MyTeamTeal.com, this is the movement to sell the Jaguars tickets. It's going to be, yep, Baselli, Wayne Weaver, and Gene Smith. Now, that's what I was told earlier today. I don't have the news release right in front of me, but that's the way I understand it, is that they will be at that event. And, again, it's the Holiday Inn and Suites at Wells Road in Orange Park. Tomorrow night, that's February 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m.
The National Football League, Jeff, is enormous. It is enormous. The Super Bowl just played, displayed again how big this league is, how the popularity is overflowing. And Jacksonville has a team in it. We cannot lose this team. We have got to somehow, some way, get these tickets sold.
You know what I was thinking last night? Watching the television, happened to flip over to the NFL Network, and watching this hero's welcome in the streets of New Orleans. And I thought it was tremendous, and I was very happy for obviously some of the guys that play for the Saints that obviously we know, Mark Brunell, Paul Spicer, who got on late, Bobby McCray. But what really struck me about the coverage of that was, can you imagine if that's Jacksonville? You know, and you're bringing the Lombardi Trophy back to Jacksonville. I mean, to have an NFL team, it's truly special.
You don't know joy until you know that.
Yeah. And that's where my mind was, you know, when I was watching the Saints and what that team really meant to that city, a city that went through so much.
James Carville, whatever, the political strategist.
No matter whether you agree with him or not, he had a great comment.
Line. Just an absolutely great line. Before the game, he said, if you're not a Colts fan and you're not cheering for the Saints, there's something wrong with you. You are a flawed human being, which is just a great line.
No, it is.
When you consider what this title represents for that city, for that region, for what they've overcome, this is the symbol of their entire resilience against nature.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to bury that franchise.
It was going to be in San Antonio.
And that city. I mean, Benson was taking it. Tom Benson was taking it to San Antonio. And for all intents and purposes, New Orleans was about to become the next Atlantis. The lost city. It was going to be under the sea at some point. And now look at the joy. After all of that sorrow, which can never be forgotten or eased, but look at the joy today. You know, which only goes to prove it can be done. Now, we haven't had Katrina blow in here. We're not underwater. You know, we haven't suffered we haven't sunk as low as New Orleans. But I'm going to tell you, we're in a serious movement here that has to succeed. You don't get two shots at this. You get one shot to save the whale.
And this may be it.
And this is it.
Okay. All right, let's go to some phone calls here before we get off the air. I know we talked about going to LeVar Arrington. I don't know if we're going to have time, but Mac's been hanging on for a very long time. Let's go to him.
Well, I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I don't want to do Super Bowl, but I'm going to change. Jeff, when I'm at the game, I always have a radio on my ear at every Jaguar home game, and you always bring it, man. You see what's on the field, you explain what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. You explain it. I appreciate you. You break it down and plainly. You do it. I mean, Brian drives the car, mm-hmm. but you add color to it, man. You do a great job. I remember when you got dressed by the Jets. Long time.
That's a good show tonight.
Thank you, Mac. I appreciate it very much.
It's a good show tonight. You know that. It's a good show.
You got to be quick, Mac, because we got somebody that wants to give Vic some love.
We do not.
Go ahead, Mac.
Oh. You know what I thought Mac was.
Mac, thank you very much, by the way. And I don't want to miss John here, because John has called in to make sure you get some love.
Hey, yeah, that's what I was going to say is you know, the number one Jaguar show is Vic on Monday nights.
Wow.
That's the number one show. The other thing is when he's talking about the listening to the game on the radio at the stadium, listen to it if you're at home on the TV. I always watch the visiting games and listen to you guys on the radio because you can get a lot more from that, too.
I agree.
Well, thank you, John and Mac and everybody who has had nice things to say about us.
John, would you allow me bounce something off Jeff before the show ends? I dearly want to hit him with something.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Have a good night. Go ahead, Vic.
I wanted to set the table with a nice story that goes with this, but we don't have the time, so I'm just going to get right to it.
Okay.
On Face the Nation Sunday, Commissioner Roger Goodell, seriously, he raised the serious possibility that the league will forbid three-point and four-point stances. The league will abolish hands on the ground. In other words, you can't put your hand down. A lineman can't put his hand down in the future if this goes through. It's all part of this anti-concussion movement. And I want to hear your thoughts on this. I want to hear your thoughts about football being played by 22 men who are all standing straight up.
Would it change the impacts?
How about short yardage?
Boy, I don't know about that.
How are you going to stop third and one if you're standing up?
Yeah, the game would change so much. How could you do something so drastic?
Would the game? I'm guessing that the game might go back to run the ball.
I think it would. I don't know. That's a very good question, and maybe something that we can get into next week. But I mean, you talk about having.
It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
I mean, would it be the same game? Could it be the same game?
I don't know.
I just know one thing. They need to pursue every avenue mm-hmm. of modifying the equipment to make it as safe as possible. The technology needs to be in place, whatever it takes. Because there's no question that concussions are a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other issues that involve the league as well. We can get into that next week. LeVar Arrington, real quick. Just, folks, if you want to hear something that I thought was fantastic.
Google LeVar Arrington's comments about Clinton Portis and listen to it. It's out of this world.
But and listen to it not just for the comments against Clinton Portis, but about how mm-hmm. the respect is oozing out of the speakers for the game and for the greats that have played the game. And I am now a huge LeVar Arrington fan.
Me too.
We'll join everybody next week right here on News Talk Radio WOKV, and maybe we'll have Sexton next week.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.